Begin the current daf. Masech the Shabbos daf mem gimel. Begin on the base. Begin the tes dimem asul tes. Begins the words of the Gemara. The chashav alayhu, where he thought about it, which Tosfos comes to ask regarding the practicality of these honeycombs, which are forbidden for a different reason, and Tosfos discusses that. Which the Gemara had a question. According to basically says that could only take a kli l'tzarech davar nitel. What do you do with the case of putting the mats over the beehives? So we understand that in the summer months there's honey. What do you do in the winter months? So that the Gemara says, even during the winter months, there's these two honeycombs that they stay in the beehives, and those are mukta because they're just for the bees. Oh, and that's like the Tosfos Maschil says, with the chashav alayhu, we thought about it before Shabbos and wanted to eat them, therefore they're not mukta. But Tosfos says, v'mtayma, Tosfos has to take a second look. But if you're going to say, but how does that help? Well, usl or daisim, but there's a prohibition of taking down the two honeycombs. Can the tanya say perikam and snail, like a Brisa teaches, and later on the tzadihim and olive, haray the chalas devash. If someone takes down the honeycombs on Shabbos, b'shogeg, if he did it by mistake, chayv chatzis, liable for karma chatzis, does the Rebbe Eliezer. And as Tosfos points out, even the Rabbanon, shvus miyik, even the Rabbanon who disagree, they hold at least rabbinically prohibited, v'avadav shen enitla, if something that cannot be moved. So anyways, you're back to the original question, how does that help? You can't move the mats for something that's enitla. So Tosfos Hashem, what you could say is, demay b'reduyas, we're talking about actually these honeycombs already taken down from the beehive, u'menachash ha-mekeves, then they were put back into the honeycomb, where there's no problem about detaching, there's no rabbinic concern because it's already davar nitl, because it's not considered attached. Inami, another approach is, that actually regilos sheyesh devash tzaf al gebechalos, that it's actually the norm that the honey floats over the honeycombs, v'isa in the tzarech radia, that's not taking it down, that's not considering the prohibition of radias, of the chalos devash, which are possibly considered like attached to something like the ground, like the way Rabbi Eliezer holds, or at least rabbinically prohibited, the honey that's flowing out is not in that prohibition. So again, either that it was taken down and put back, so that it's not attached anymore, it's just put there to keep for the bees, but he was chashav alayhu, so it's not muktzah, or it's talking about the honey that's floating on top. The next Tosfos Maschil begins with the words of the Gemara, Shulei Yesenu Ke'in Mitzuda, that it should not be made like a trap. Which Tosfos comes to explain the chiddush in this, that you're saying that it should not be made like a trap. And that is, the Brisa discussed this case of, like we said, regarding the beehive, that it said that as long as you don't intend to trap. So that the Gemara asks, who are you going like? If you're like Reb Shimon, so he doesn't hold that that's of the halacha of Muktzah at all. So if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, so what does it help that it's in Miskaven? He holds Davashen Miskaven is Zasser. So the Gemara says, truthfully, going like Rabbi Yehuda. And when it says, Bavashle Iskaven Lotzer, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't intend to, because even in not intended to look at me awesome, it means don't make it like a Mitzuda. Don't cover the whole beehive, because then, by default, yeah, even though you're not intending to, you're going to be over on the Malach of Tzad of a trap. But then, Tosfos asks us to take a second look. Vintem, if you're going to say, my Kamashulam, then what's the Chiddush? Pshita di Avid came Mitzuda the Asa. Obviously, if you're going to make it like a trap, it's going to be awesome. Because it explains, but holy mashmeh b'risa, it doesn't sound like from the b'risa that it's coming to tell us that if you make it like a trap, the avagav the in miskaven asa, that even though you're not intending to, it's going to be asa like Rabbi Yehuda says. Because from the wording, it sounds like, no, ubavad shalai iskaven. But it sounds like, but that there's another chiddush over here. What's the chiddush? The chiddush that it shouldn't trap? Of course that you can't trap if it's automatically going to be trapping it. So the Yeshlim Tesis, what you could say is, no, there is a chiddush here. The Amma Bepek Mashin, the Gemara Be'ed Avlam Avav Mbe'ed says, the Kamashmon, the chiddush over here would be, is the Sagad Eidach, you would think to say, B'minay Nitzit Aser, only if it's a type of species, specimen, that it's normally trapped, that's forbidden. She'ein B'minay Nitzit, if it's something that's normally not trapped, then it's going to be mutter, that it would be permitted. Kamashmon, as we want to say, that things like bees are going to be forbidden from the Malacha of Tzeda, of trapping. It's not in this exemption of Ein B'minay Nitzit. Begins the words of the Gemara. Rav Ashi, he says, Tosfos comes to explain that Rav Ashi actually gave his answer right away to Rav Ukva. Where Rav Ashi is going on the original question of Marukva, which is, what do you do with the case of Machzeles for the Kaveris, for the beehive, and that is that works during the winter when for the summer when there's honey. What are you doing during the winter? So Rav Ashi is coming to say, oh, that when it says b'cham necham g'sham necham, it doesn't mean in the summer and the winter. It means at least in the tissue when you have both sun and rain. So Tei says, Mistama, we could presume that Rav Ashi heishem miyad came to Rav Ukva g'sholei. Right when Rav Ukva asked this question, Rav Ashi actually answered right away that this answer. Elisha Sida Hashas Tirit Sholei Tchilei first gave Rav Ukva's answer first, and then subsequently it said Rav Ashi, but it was actually right away that it gave that answer. Now, Rashbam, he actually said that actually the Shneim Heshem Rav Ashi, that actually Rav Ashi actually gave both answers. Because the Masechet is Be'egoris, and the Masechet is Be'egoris, the Giris actually is, Amalei, he said to him, said, no, what it is talking about for the winter months are those two honeycombs that are left over there. And actually, the answer that our sugya brings down the name of Ravashi is actually V'ibayisema. And if you want, you could say another answer, but actually, that's another additional answer. Actually, Ravashi actually gave both answers. So again, Taisa says, first of all, that he probably gave the answer right away to Mokva's question, what do you do with the winter months? That it doesn't mean winter months, it means during the reign of Nisan Tishrei. And additionally, actually, both answers were given by Ravashi. Here next, Taisa, the Masal Taisa begins the words of Gemara, Kvar Tirgimah Rav Huna L'Shmaitech. Well, Rav Huna already said, like you, Taisa can explain that Rav Huna holds, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that yes, but there's two things. He holds that a kli cannot be moved with tzarek d'van nitl, like Rabbi Yitzchak, but also he holds, as Tosfos references already twice in the past, that also you cannot mevatel kli meichanah. But by a large loss, they did permit you to move it, even for something that's not tzarek d'van nitl, and even if you don't need the kli originally tzarek mekayimah. And as the Gemara brings it, Rav Ashi said to students, go out, tell Rabbi Yitzchak, this that you say in kli nitl tzarek d'van nitl, in all situations, Rav Huna said like you in Bavel. Because Rav Huna said this halacha the Gemara brings that you could only make a mechitza for a mess if you're doing it for a chai, but you cannot go ahead and do it for a mess because that letzarech davar shein enitam. So Tais says that you can't take a kli only for tzarech davar nitl, which is for a living person. So the parak basra mashma in the last parak of Kof Nadal Mabez, it sounds like isli nami the Rav Huna. Now besides that, we're bringing that Rav Huna holds that this, like Rav Yitzchak, that you cannot take something for davar shein enitam. That he also holds that the other svar burden also give the aslavat kli mechanim, like Rav Yisa said, now nullify a vessel from its preparedness. Why? Because the parcha milse, the Gemara asks on Rav Huna over there. The kama hasam Rav Huna. Rav Huna says he's behemti to the kli schuches. If a person's animal was laden with glassware, so what do you do? Maybe karmic sasas manich tachtein. So what you could do is that you bring some type of pillows and blankets, and you put it beneath them, so that the vessel shouldn't break when you unload them. Now on that, the Gemara asks, the reason why you're doing this is because it's mukta of these vessels, but you want to unload it. So what do you do is you put pillows and blankets and you let it fall on that. So the Gemara says, you're nullifying the pillows and blankets from their preparedness when you have these mukta glassware falling on them that you can't move it anymore. Well, Meshani, the Gemara answers, we're talking about Shlifi Zutri. We're talking about small glass where when you remove the pillow from beneath them, they'll fall on the second pillow and so on, and therefore you're not nullifying the vessel from its preparedness because you could just remove the pillow and they'll fall off. But one thing we see is that Rav Huna holds on the primary halacha of Eimavat HaKli Mechane, as the Gemara asks it on him like a question. Now, Tei says, Vintemi, if you're going to say, but Akati Tikshalei Hasam, the Gemara should have had another question over there, and that halacha Rav Huna scored over there. The Rav Huna of a hacha, because besides that, we say he also holds of Eimavat the Kli Mechanah, the Gemara asked from him over there, but he additionally holds, as our sugya quotes him over here, then Kli Nitl al Davar Nitl. You could only take something for something that could be taken. So how can you move the pillows beneath the glass which cannot be taken, which are muksa? So what you could say is, like our sugya answers for all those questions over the Mayr, but Tzarech L'Mekayimei. Yeah, you're right. You know, I'll move the pillow especially for that, but you needed to move the pillow for its place anyway. Once you did it, then you can put it beneath the glass where, and then you can unload it. And then Tayyah says, Vim Temi, begin to say, this is the Gemara asked in Rav Huna's teaching. That he says what you could do is you could unload the animal by putting pillows beneath it and just let the glassware fall. And the Gemara asks from that halacha, which brings regarding if a person's animal is loaded with untithed produce and ashashas, or some other type of glassware, which you allow to open up the ropes and let them fall down, and even though it breaks. That's what the halacha said. But it doesn't permit you to put pillows and blankets beneath the glassware. That contradicts Rav Huna, who says you could do that. So on that, asks Taisvis, Lema de Meir Be'im Tzarech L'Mekayimah. What's the question? Let the Gemara answer and say, oh, because that price that says forbidden is because you don't need the pillow and blanket for its place. So you're not allowed to move it. Because whatever Rav Huna lets you move it is only when it's Tzarech L'Mekayimah. But when you don't need it, it's going to be Asa. So why can the Gemara answer that for the question? What you could say is you're right. The Gemara could have given such an answer that price is not contradictory because that's my in Tzarech L'Mekayimah and Rav Huna is talking about when Tzarech L'Mekayimah. But anyway, says Taisus, because the Hachanam of Matz Lishnoi, there's another answer that the Gemara could have given. Bishlifi Ravavi, it could have said that price that says you're not allowed to move the pillows beneath it is because it's a large glass which would be Mevatakli Mechanei. And then, of course, you're not allowed to move the pillows beneath it because he holds of that reason too. So therefore, we say that, yeah, it could have given other reasons, but it didn't give this one, and it didn't give that one either. And it gave whatever the Gemara answers over there. Now, Rima Taretz, he actually gives a different answer to the question. He says, the Isser de Inkli Nitel Ela Dava HaNitel. He says that a Kli cannot be taken only for Dava HaNitel is Shari Hechadika Hasim Ruba. It's actually permitted when there's a large loss, even if you don't need a Limakaimai. Now, here by the glassware, if it's going to fall, it's going to break, it's going to be a large loss. And therefore, the Gemara could not have answered that it's so much in Tzarek L'mekayim. The question we asked was, so wait a second, why didn't you just say that price to my in Tzarek L'mekayim? So one answer we gave was, yeah, you could have given such an answer. The answer is no. You couldn't have said that because actually that lach of ain't that it's only l'dabah ha-nitl, you don't say that for dabah she-nitl when it's a large loss. And therefore, we couldn't have answered that because actually, even if it's le'en and nitel, and you don't need a lemakamah, you would still be able to move the pillars beneath it. And therefore, that is a contradiction. And the chemash masotu sounds like the kama hasim, because the Gemara says over there, ma'av de tema, what would you say that ki hechid el have some merubah chashav chulu, just like for a large loss? They were concerned, so to for a small loss too. That's why I have to tell you that no, that it's prohibited. Now, Mashmat sounds like Chashav etir letaltal of Dabar Shein Nitel, that they were concerned and they did permit to move the pillows, even for something that's not, cannot be moved itself. Because the what does that mean? They were concerned to permit it if this is not the prohibition, which is that you're not move it for something that she'en nitl. Obviously, but when it's a have some ruba, you are allowed to. And again, therefore, we couldn't have answered that the brisa says you're not allowed to move it is when you don't need the pillow's place itself, because it doesn't make a difference. If you have some ruba, you'd be able to move it even the davar she'en nitl. The next test, the master test begins with the words of the Gemara, Cham lehem milmata, where when it's hot for them on the bottom. So it's going to explain why. Couldn't they just bring the bed and everything else at the same time? Why have to wait till it's hot for them? There's the Gemara brought this teaching of Ravuna that when you have the dead person in the sun, so you're not allowed to move stuff to protect the dead person from rotting because it's ladavash in the needle. Rather, two people sit on the side. When it gets hot for them on the bottom, like Taisus says, they bring a bed to sit on. Gets hot on the top, they bring a mat to cover them on the top, and so on and so forth, till they end up protecting the dead person. Now, Taisus is a wonder. Without them being hot on the bottom. My Yisrael, what's the problem? Why can't everyone just bring a bed to sit on? Why did the Brice have to say that? They have to wait till it's hot, then they bring a bed. The soup, moreover, why do they have to first bring a bed, and then the mat on the top? Let them wait till, besides being hot on the bottom, it's hot on the top. They bring a bed and a mat at the same time. What if they first get hot on the bottom, bring a bed, then wait till they get hot on the top, then go back and bring a mat? So it says, Venir, it seems, because the Achim Rabban, the Rabban was stringent, Lemevet Hekeru, wanted to make it recognizable, Shula Tarichai, that it's specifically for the living person, called Kamad Efshel Mevet, as much as possible. So therefore, you don't bring everything at one time, it's going to look like you're bringing it for the dead person. If you do as the norm, which a person sits down, it gets hot, he brings a bed, then he waits again, it gets hot, he brings a mat. And the reason why we did it was, again, because, like we said, you cannot do it for mess, and we wanted to show that recognition, and therefore we did it in the more obvious way. In the way we're saying, wait till it gets hot on bottom and then on the top. The next text, the Masechta Tetzaveh begins the words of the Gemara. Poisna lehen, then they put the mat on top of each other on themselves, and then Zezakim Chulu. Then he lifts up his bed, etc. The text can explain exactly what's the permitted way to go ahead and make this oihel on the dead person, which again through this way of doing it for these living people. That is because the Gemara said that if there's a dead person, so you can't do it directly for the dead person, because it's Tzarek Dabashen Enit. You do it for these living people. So the way the Gemara says it is you wait till it's hot for them on the bottom, you bring a bed, they sit down. Wait for half of them on the top, then they bring the mats and they hold it on top of themselves. Then they pick up the beds, and now the mat is on the beds as walls, and then they get up and they leave, and now you have these walls that are protecting the dead person. Says Taisa Dafka B'Kai Gavna, specifically in that way, which is, that first they bring the beds to sit on, then the mats, and then they pick up the beds to be the walls, and then they leave. Commission Pirish Rashi, like Rashi explained, that it has to be that way. Because Avul Mimata, Lamala Aser, because if you made it from the bottom up, you first lifted up the beds and then the mats, that would be forbidden. Mishum Oil, because of an oil that you're making some type of a canopy, which is forbidden to make on Shabbos, which is some type of a building. Can I mean about maybe Kadayan, like the Gemara says in Beid, Avlam Beis and Beis. Armabiyudi says, even things that are not like real binyanim, but it's in the shape of a structure. Midirasa, if someone's making a bonfire. Milmal lamatashari, if you make the fire on first on top and then the wood on the bottom, that's permitted. But if you do it the way it's normally done, milmata lamala, from bottom up, that's also, that's forbidden. V'chein biyasa, so to an egg on top of the fire. V'chein kidra, so to pots on top of that. V'chein chavita, also a barrel, which you do one on top of two, upurya, or a bed. All of them, you could only do from top down, but not from bottom up. So therefore also, we have to first have them hold the mat on top, and which is top, and then put the beds as the walls to be from top down. Because the Tais says, the Hodam, Minam, I might say Tefillin, this, the Gemara says, in Erevin, Dafkov, Bezim, and Alf. Gabi Dichid, Rav Huna, the rams are Rav Huna, that you have to protect them from the elements, so, but he couldn't have it out from before Shabbos. So also coming to Rav, he came in front of Rav, what should he do? So Malay said to him, look, Zil Karach Budya, go ahead and wrap up a mat, but Vashay Batefach, leave it as a roof of a hand breath. So because at nighttime he needed the ventilation for them to get, but at daytime he needed protection from the sun. So, but leave the roof at least a hand breadth. Lamacha Pashtu, and then tomorrow that she roll out the rest. We're Moisaval oil arai, who that's not making an oil arai, because you still have a tefach of the oil, you're just adding on. But Shabbat, I mean, that's okay to do on Shabbos. Now, but the inference is of a belay shir oster, but had he not left a hand breadth of the tent from before Shabbos, it would be forbidden. Because you're making oil arai on Shabbos, but that's the problem. But why? Here the roof was made without any walls. Didn't you say it's the only problem from bottom up? Says Taisus, Hainu Meshum Shamachitzas HaTachtoin, Sir Kavar HaSuris. Yeah, that's because the lower walls were already made. If he would stretch out and add on the roof on Shabbos, he'd be making an oil, Kederach Las Oil, the way it's normally done from bottom up. But here, since the roof was at least a tefach already from before Shabbos, it was just being Maisiv, and therefore that was permitted. Now, as Taisus, for one, Va'avagav Rav Huna Islehacha, although Rav Huna here in our Sugya, he holds the inkling nitl al davanitl that a vessel can be moved for something that could be moved. So how did he permit to roll out the mats on Shabbos, on the rams, even if it was already stretched out a tefach from before Shabbos? But forget about making an oil, but it's muktzah, because you're moving the mats for something that itself that cannot be moved, which are the rams. So it says, Taisus, Mashahoyim Maisiv Lamachar, this that he was stretching out the rest on Shabbos, lechashiv tiltal, that's not considered as moving the muktzah item, because he's just adding on, he's not really moving the thing. Oy, or another approach you could say, Shem Hayim Mishim and Shamadim, maybe they actually had a person sit over there, and therefore that he could also benefit from the shade, and therefore it's actually tzarech davar nitl, like here in our sugya. Or Inami, a third approach is, Mishim have some rubashar, because it's a great loss for his animals, therefore it's permitted to move it, even lezarech davar she'en nitl, k'deperish le'el, like we said before, tzarech demas l'kvar, that since there's a great loss for his animals that they shouldn't die, therefore it's permitted to go ahead and move it, even lezarech davar she'en nitl. Here next Taz, the Master Taz begins with the words of the Gemara, Zez Zoykiv Mitase. So this guy puts up his beds and he leaves, which Taz comes to explain that this heter was not permitted for the mess itself. That is, the Gemara brought this dead person that's in the sun. So you have to have two people come, sit on the side, and go through this whole procedure to have the bed and then the mats, and then they pick up the beds and then they leave. So it comes out that now we have these walls protecting the dead person. So Tais asks, Tame the Re, wonders, and the Gear says, the Hacha Lo Shari El B'Shabachai. We find here, as we say clearly in our Sugya, that's only permitted if it's done in this indirect way, when it's being done only for a living person. But in the Perek Mishra Tziyu, but in the Gemara, on the Memdal Medalev, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, that Zekiv Es Amita, that a person could lift up a bed, Paris Les Sadn, could stretch out on it a blanket, that the sun should not shine down on the dead person and on food items. And then the Gemara says, ah, you're making oil. Oh, so it's somewhat the fourth wall of the sukkah. The sukkah is kosher anyways without it. So all it is, it's not making oil, it's only adding onto the oil. Fine. One thing says, Taisus, you see that the vessel is being moved for a dead person. Didn't you say it cannot be moved for a dead person, only for a living person? What you could say is, you're right. They that were permitting over there is only like we say over here, where it's done beaten off a living person, and then, incidentally, it's helping for the dead person. Or inami, or also, it's not a dead person or food items. There's food items with the dead person, and therefore, since that's l'tzarech davar nitl, so therefore that could also work for the dead person. But yes, it cannot be done directly for the dead person. The next day, the master says, begins the words of the Gemara that we said, after they make this whole mechitza, v'nishmat v'hoylechloy. They could get up and they could leave. So it's come to explain that they don't have to remain over there, as we see from the sugya, once they lift up the beds. Because the ain't sarkli shar shem tachzal, they don't have to remain there beneath the tent. K'deshei nirushinas b'shavuchai, that it should seem like, as we had said before, we do all types of precautions, that it should be obvious being done for the living person. Because kiven b'shas asiyah, since when it was being made, it was obvious that it was being done for living persons. So once it's made, so now it's made. And now, even though it's only a dead person, they don't have to remain over there, even though now it looks like it's for the dead person. As long as when it was made, it was obvious. Then, as the Gemara says, they could then leave. begins the words of the Gemara. The kuli alma tiltum and atach me tiltum. Everyone holds moving something indirectly is considered tiltal mukta and therefore prohibited. Rosh Tosfos come to explain that yes, tiltum and atzad, if it's being moved for the mukta thing, is also according to everyone, which our Gemara had brought that you're not allowed to save a dead person from a fire. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, I heard that you're allowed to save a dead person. So the Gemara says, what's it talking about? If there's a child or a loaf, so then everyone would hold it's mutter. Why does Tanakh come and say it's us? If there's no child or loaf, so why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish hold his mutter? It's mukta, the dead person. So the Gemara wants to say, oh, it's contingent on they're disagreeing if tiltum and atzad is us or mutter. Tanakama holds it's considered mukta, it's considered tiltum. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not considered tiltum. The Gemara rejects says, no, everyone holds tiltum and atzad shmei tiltum. So why do you read the Lakash it's permitted? Because, as the Gemara says, a svar, because since a person is confounded, is concerned over his dead person, if you don't let him to move the dead person, even in this indirect way, he's going to come to extinguish the fire. But one thing says, taste near the reed, seems to the reed, the chen alocha, that that's the alocha, that tiltum and atzad ishmeitil is considered a violation of mukta. Medalekama from the fact that the Gemara doesn't answer the opposite way. If the Gemara could have said the kuliyama lo ishmeitil, no, it's not necessarily disagreeing about if tiltum atzad ishmeitil or not. Actually, everyone agrees it's not considered moving mukta. But it's talking about where there's no child or loaf of bread. The ainla elamita achas, and there's only one bed, and therefore he can't move it from bed to bed. And that, yes, they're talking about a bona fide moving of the dead person, and that's why the Tanakhama says asa. And the time Rebbe Malakish, the reason Rebbe Malakish holds his mutter is matek shadim ball because the person can find that on his dead person. Why didn't the Gemara say that? Because obviously halacha is that everyone agrees that it is considered tiltal, and therefore nakkarachi. Therefore the Gemara said it that way because tiltum and atzad ishmei tiltal. Problem is because the Re is bothered because the bereish kala kalem. The Gemara later on of kavachol begimel menalf pasik Rev Nachman krebelaza ben tadoi diksaver lo ishmei tiltal. Where he rules the halacha is that it's not considered tiltal if it's menatzad. But kashad Rav and Rav. We just have a contradiction in Rav himself because the halacha saver ishmei tiltal. Here in our sugi he holds that tiltum and atzad is considered tiltal. But later on, they said in the Shiva Rav, the tiltum and atzad lo ishmei tiltal. Moving something indirectly is not considered tiltal. And as Tais explains, we find elsewhere that parach mid the Rav army bei Rav. We find that we ask a question from Rav himself on what they said in the Shiva of Rav. And ube perak ashal the gemara b'metzik of beis mabeis ube perak beis gurim b'basar kofheim beis we find matzuch milsi the rab the amir be rab that we have to explain. Wait a second, what's the necessity of this teaching of Rav and the Yeshiva of Rav? We see that it's the same thing. So then we have a contradiction. Does Rav hold tiltum mitzad is tiltal or not? Void, another question is, am I asar, as we continue to Medbez, to Memdal Manav, why does Rav, my asar Rav, hocha tiltum mitzad? Why does Rav say that moving something indirectly is prohibited, but it's not beperk nitl, but we find in the Mishnah later on, kum Medbez Medbez, mo isha gabe hakar, if there's money on a pillow. What you could do is menar sakar ve'nayflusi. So you move to shake the pillow, and the money falls off. Or so too, the even shalpiachavus. If you have a stone on top of a barrel, so what do you do? Matatzi the bechulu. You lean the barrel on the side, and it falls off. Muki la Rav hasam b'shechecha. Rav explains why is it permissible to move it in quote this tiltum and atzad way? Because you forgot the money or the stone on the pillow or the barrel of the maniach. But if it was placed over there, oh, that's problematic. That's nasa basal double us. That becomes as a platform for a prohibited thing. And therefore, that's going to become muksa like the muksa thing itself. On that, as Tais is b'hoch over here by the dead person, chashav b'sheicheich, it's considered like, quote, having been forgotten. How do you know that? But the shari Shmuel. For the fact that Shmuel says it's permitted to go ahead and move. And if it was like deliberately placed, Shmuel would agree that would be basal double us. Now, anything that your intention is to take it on Shabbos, not leave it to the whole Shabbos, then even if you place it, has the same halachas like as it was forgotten. Like we find regarding when you could shake off the cover and it falls down, which refers to Gemara later on, the Bem Tesem and Alf, when someone conceals his pot in shearings of wool that's forbidden to move it, so what you do is you shake the cover and it falls off. And the cover of the pot is not considered basis legizi to the shearings of the wool, that it should be forbidden to move, because since his intention was not to leave it there a whole Shabbos, so avapisha miskavin kisa medavashe nitl, even though he intended to cover it with something that cannot be moved, but since his intention was not to leave it to the whole Shabbos, it's not considered basis. So one thing we see is that if our halacha is like shecheich, and Rav really explained shecheich is not a problem about tiltum and atzad, so why over here does it say it's a problem with tiltum and atzad by the dead person? Because the Taisa explains about Fuller Rabban, Rebbe Lezben Tadoi, even according to Rabban of Rebbe Lezben Tadoi, that they hold Tiltum and Atzad, is Shmei Tiltum. They even permit the way of our Gemara over here regarding the dead person to move it from bed to bed, that that's not considered tiltil muktzah. Why? Because Darshoa, they agree, they permit, pagashet, meaning matevin, if you have unripe fruit that was concealed in the straw, or v'charorashet, meaning b'gacholmer, similarly regarding the cookie that was concealed in the coals. In the Gula muktzah, as long as if some of it is uncovered, that they say it's permitted, because only if the mechusa kula pligi, only if the whole thing was covered, that's where they disagree. Which Rabbi Elazar Shari, he permits a fila mechusa kula, even if it's totally concealed, because the teichet bekusha bekarka, because you could get it out with some type of a tool. Now, so the question is, and therefore you could get it out that way. Rabbanan say it's asr because tiltum and atzad. But the problem is, when it's partially uncovered, they say it's permitted. So here by the dead person, we're moving it from bed to bed. That shouldn't be any less than this paga that was concealed and part of it was revealed, that it should be permitted. So everyone agrees tiltum and atzad is mutter. So how here do we see in our sugi that saying everyone holds it's asr? So Baim read the says the yesh l'chalk. You could differentiate. The hach over here in our sugi, ikra tiltum and tzarech ha-mes. The primary moving is for the dead person, which that's the primary thing that you're moving, which is the muksa item. So therefore, yes, tiltum and atzad is going to be asr. But like dami l'chalhanu, you can't compare it to all those cases where we said the tiltum and atzad is going to be permitted. Sha'oise ikra tiltum and tzarech kar v'chavis, because there the primary thing that you're moving is for the permitted thing. It's for the pillow, which has the money on it. You want the pillow or for the barrel. But loy l'tzarech maris evvevn, it's not for the money and for the stone. And that's why it's different. He, when it's l'tzarech, the asr thing, tiltum and atzad is asr. There it's for the mutter thing, it's going to be permitted tiltum and atzad. And says Taisla, Hachila Maisa Hacha plukta the Rebbe Lazar bent David Rabban. That's why the Gemara here does not bring their machlekes by tiltum and atzad, because over here everyone agrees it's going to be aser. Because since you're moving it for the aser thing, therefore everyone agrees tiltum and atzad is going to be aser. Now, but v'ayit kashlari. But another difficulty for the Ri is da filta tiltum the mess, even by moving the dead person. Sheesh lesser yesu mishal tiltum, and that's like it appears. Like we explained, that it's more of a reason to say it's aser to move it indirectly. Like we explain. Because here you're moving it for the muksa thing itself, for the dead person itself, and still Shari Shmuel, still here in our Sugi Shmuel, says it is permitted. Now the difficulty is, later on the Nunam Beis, Omer Shmuel, he says, Hai Sakina Debeni Urvin. Regarding this knife that's between the bricks, if Datsav, you stuck it in, Bishalfa, you took it out, Vada Datsav, you stuck it back in, so says Shmuel that Shari, so it's permitted to remove the knife from between the bricks on Shabbos. It's not a problem about Tiltal Muksa, because since you already stuck it in, took it out one time, so the wall was really widened a little bit, and now you're not moving anything when you take it out. But v'loy, if not, then asr would be forbidden. Now, Pirish B'Kunch L'Kam, and Rashi explains later on, yeah, the asr mishum tiltum l'tzad, if you had not stuck it in and take it out from before Shabbos, at least once before, it would be forbidden because you'd be moving that cement in this indirect way by moving it with the knife. You're not moving it directly with your hand. It would be indirectly with the knife, but that would be forbidden. Problem is, but Shmuel and Arsugi hold tiltum l'tzad is permitted. How can you say whether it's asr? It's also difficult. The Rav Huna Mahasim, Rav Huna says over there, also Haisli Kusa, which is this type of this fragrant spice, this herb, which they would stick into a flower pot, and they would take it out, whoever wanted to smell, and put it back into the flower pot. That so too he says, Datsa b'shalfa v'hadda datsa, if you stuck it in, you took it out and you stuck it in, so then Shari, it's permitted to take it out on Shabbos. V'ilav, if not, Asa, it'd be forbidden to take it out on Shabbos. Im Kain, if that's the case, Asa tiltum anatzad. Based on rash interpretation, the reason why he says you're not allowed if you had never stuck it in from before Shabbos and taken it out, be forbidden because you've been moving the earth indirectly, which is muktz. Problem is, Masayif Tal, the end of Perek Tal, Ami Bei Rav, they say in the yeshiva of Rav, the tilt, that's not loishmi tilt. It's not a problem about moving muktz. Now, the Ami Bei Rav, who's the yeshiva of Rav? Who's Ami Bei Rav? Hain Rav Huna, that's Rav Huna, Kamesh Ravash Rabbein the Tamas, and Perek Haramat, and Sanedrin, of Yitzayim Mabez. So it comes out that words of Rav Huna contradict regarding tilt, and that's so Ri, it seems to the Ri, the Rav Huna B'Shmuel, loy asri hasam, not like Rashi. They don't say it's forbidden over there to stick the knife in or the herb into the flower pot if you had not stuck it in and taken it off from before Shabbos, mishum tiltum anatzad, not because indirectly. No, the whole tiltum anatzad is not a problem. El mishum shemeser offer marchev agumet for a different reason. It's because you're moving the earth and you're expanding the pit, which is the telod of the malacha of Bainu or of Chayrish, which this that he's quote-unquote digging a pit. The Aidi, the Arilel, the name of Guma, now although the Gemara is talking about Mukta, but since previously it was speaking about over there regarding a pit by someone that is concealing his pot in a pit, which was talking about sticking something, expanding something, what it was. So Nukta, therefore, they speak about this case about the knife and the Slikusa, even though that regarding the pit is because of Tiltal, and here regarding the knife is because of Chayrish Abayna. So therefore, that's why they introduce it over here, because it talks about a similar type of a case. But really, it's not because of Tiltum and Atzad, it's regarding Chayrish Abayna. Now, they ask from the case of the turnip and the radish in the ground beneath the vineyard to protect them, which the halacha is that whenever the leaves are partially revealed, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos. Even though the stam lefes v'tznayin is lav dotz v'shlof, even though generally the turnip and the radish is not generally that you stuck and you took out from before Shabbos, it's not norm to do that. And ulahachi chashav shas tiyufta. The Gemara considers that a question on Rapunah Shmuel, and according to Rashi, makes sense because it's regarding tilta on the tzad. But regarding the way Taisa explains it, is because that they hold that if you didn't expand it from before Shabbos, it should be forbidden to move it. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Now, Rapunah Shmuel, that they don't permit it unless you had stuck in it and took it out from before Shabbos, says Taisa habiyadila. They knew that regarding this halacha of the turnip and the radish about taking on Shabbos, because the Masnit name is Seydiz Ram. It's a Mishnah in Seydiz Ram, and they know a Mishnah. But they go through the difficulty of explaining that Mishnah, that it was not permitted to remove it on Shabbos, only a bedatz of a shlafa, yeah, only if you stuck in it and took it out from before Shabbos, because or else there would be a problem about Baino or Chayrish. But the Gemara doesn't like to say such a difficult interpretation because it's not normally done by radishes and turnips. And therefore, it remains with a question on them. But yes, it's a different interpretation. It's not talking about like tiltam and atad. It's talking about because of chayrish or because of bayinah, because of making a guma. That's the discussion because they actually hold Rav Huna and Shmuel that it's actually tiltam and atad is mutter. And therefore, it's a different discussion, not like the way Rashi said.